Hello, you're listening to Spoiler
Film
Conversation.
Hooray!
Hooray!
You were late.
I wasn't late. I'm always on time. You were early. Hello, listeners, if you are there. And if you're not, does this exist if they're not listening to it? Either way, I'm Richard Nicholas. Hello.
I'm pick one or two, depending on how you
Abigail.
Number your beans.
That's Abigail. Who else is here?
I'm here. I'm kind of there. I'm in site B. And I'm Oliver.
Yes, we're a little bit... Yeah, pull out the tissues, Nicholas.
I had to. I almost spilled water on the computer.
Oh, we should have stayed in the studio where it's safe. No, we're doing it via Skype this time. So, Ollie is elsewhere. We are here. And we're without Anthony, or anyone else for that matter. It's just the three of us.
But there was the possibility of Steve's return.
Yeah, Steve would have been back, but he couldn't get hold of the thing to watch. And neither could Anthony, so we shouldn't have picked such an obscure one. So in order to solve that problem, we're doing a different film anyway, but without them, this doesn't make sense what we're doing, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It does, because we will always make content, whether it be one of us or ten.
Or none of us.
We will make a podcast.
Even if there's one of us, we'll record something. Some silence. It'll probably be more interesting.
Yes, and also because our commentary on Earth Girls Are Easy fell apart, Abigail had a bonus choice to do something, and so it's Earth Girls Are Easy.
It's filling
the discussion.
Yeah, because we tried to do a commentary, it got botched. We won't go into the details. We'll talk about the film now, and
you brush it onto the carpet.
I will.
You brush. Yeah.
Me and Ollie may have been a little bit negative during the commentary, and we're going to revise our opinions after a second watch in spoiler-filled film conversation,
hooray.
Which this is. Yes, hooray. So, enough not getting to the point. The film we saw was Earth Girls Are Easy. Abigail, you picked it.
I did.
Why did you make us watch it?
Again.
That was rhetorical. That was just, that's my opinion. Why did you make us watch it?
Again.
I think it's a bit of a laugh. A romp through some 80s candy floss. And I thought you would...
Enjoy
a little bit. I may have been wrong.
I enjoyed it a little bit.
There. See, I was right about Ollie at least.
The second time.
Upon my sort of second watch, I did find it less irritating than the first time we watched it.
Good.
Who is in Earth Girls Are Easy? Can you do the vital statistics, please, Abby?
I can. Earth Girls Are Easy is from 1988. It's directed by Julian Temple, who was a documentary filmmaker. He's made many documentaries with his producer friend. It's written by Julie Brown, who's also in it. And Charlie Coffey and Terrence McNally. Stars Gian Davis, Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans, and Mike McKean's in it as well, who I'm going to talk about every given opportunity.
Right. So, yeah, so, you know, Jim McKean, Jim Carrey, and Jeff Goldblum, all pretty
big... Who's Jim McKean?
What did I say?
Jim McKean. Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, Jim McKean.
Mike McKean.
Mike McKean. Oh, I see what I did now. Right, Mike McKean and Jim Carrey. And Jeff Goldblum are all pretty big names. Mm. And yet, I don't think this movie has much fame. It has notoriety.
It was before they were famous. This was everyone's early film.
1988.
It was absolutely everybody's early film. Bela Lugosi, back in the 20s, this was his early film. Everybody's early film.
Lots of those new kids in Twilight who probably hadn't even grown up yet, they were in it.
Yeah. I know.
Future stars who are yet to even exist, they saw their debuts in said film.
Do you want to moan about Larry Linville now or later on?
Who's
Larry Linville from MASH is supposedly in this movie as Dr. Bob.
Yeah, I don't... There were doctors. I mean...
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see him. If he was in it, he's the main cast. He's on the Wikipedia page. It's Larry Linville as Dr. Bob.
We are very familiar with his face, and we know it was not there.
And it says Rick Overton as Dr. Rick.
Yeah.
Were there any radio shows or anything in the movie?
Not that I recall, but there could have been.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, that's who's in it. I mean, you know, we did a worse job than IMDb would, so we should get to the bit that's unique and that only us can do. That's bad grammar. Why are we doing this? There's no point us talking about it. People will have their own opinions. It'll be far superior to our own. Oh, anyway, here are our opinions in the form of a chat.
Holly, would you like to start?
My opinions on Earth Girls are easy. It's hard to really quantify. Abby is going to argue that it is a satire and that it should be viewed as a satirical kind of piece of fluff instead of being a silly comedy. But the problem is that short of it actually saying at the front in big letters, this is a satire, it is very hard. This is a lynching again.
No, it's not.
Edit. Short of the word satire being in big letters at the beginning, you will never know that it is a satire, and as a result, it's just a kind of silly, bland, stupid exploitation comedy, really.
80s exploitation, if such a thing exists, I'd say.
Yeah.
Or alien or size exploitation. I don't know how it works. Do you just add the word exploitation if it's kind of over the top? That's how that kind of works.
I don't know. I don't know where the line. For example, I don't know where the line between a movie with black people and black exploitation is.
Well, I think they're cashing in on sort of. I don't know. It's kind of like the black element to a black exploitation film is a gimmick and is kind of exaggerating stereotypes or something. It's cashing in on a particular thing, in that case, black people's culture, I guess, or perceived culture. And then other exploitation films, I guess, are doing the same thing. They're sort of an amped up version of a theme. I don't know. I don't know how exploitation... You have to be exploiting someone. And I guess if anyone's being exploited in this, it's the viewer. So... Or the cast.
May I explain my reasoning for it being a satire?
Yeah.
It was written by a woman who... comedy performance is a satire of Californian women, and it was directed by a documentary filmmaker.
Okay.
When you say documentary filmmaker...
That's all he made before he made this film.
Music videos.
No, that was after he made this film.
He certainly had lots of practice in this film.
Mm. Oh, this is the... Okay, this is what broke his mind and so became a music video maker.
What got him this gig was Absolute Beginners with David Bowie, which was a film of some kind. And it went down like a lead balloon in Britain, but America said, yeah, come over here, work for us. They make this and music videos.
Okay. I don't know. So what you're saying, Ab, is basically, like L.A. Story, it's trying to make a point about culture. Mm. It's trying to be funny about that kind of L.A. 80s scene and kind of kooky, blonde women or something.
But the problem with making a satire about something that's shallow is that it's shallow.
Yeah. It's hard. You have to craft really... clever setups to make it obvious, whereas I don't know. I kind of agree with Ollie. I don't know if they quite were satirical enough or just genuinely made some rubbish.
Well, the problem with shallow things is that there's nothing there to be satirical about, which is what I think you're saying.
So that's what tripped them up in the end, is that they were trying to satirise something that is... hollow. You can't satirise something that's hollow.
Mm. But in a nutshell, Abby quite likes it. Me and Ollie are still...
Stop nutshelling.
All right.
It's too early to nutshell.
I just think we need to talk about what happened and what we saw and what we did. Not that we didn't do anything, we sat there.
Okay.
Yes. Much as I have on occasion loathed it, this is where we need the structure of the podcast to come back and for Rich to talk about
The beginning?
The beginning.
The setup, basically, is we had kind of, actually, one of the nice things about it was you open with a kind of animation that's all kind of colours. I think it's airbrush paintings that have been animated or something. And that's quite a nice opening animation of, like, a spaceship flying through space. Their spaceship's kind of a... It looks like a kind of Futurama bath toy or something, would you agree?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
This spaceship has our three male main actors, Jeff, Jim, and Damon. And they are playing aliens who've discovered Earth and have realised that if they go to Earth, they might find babes.
No, that's not what happens.
They crash on Earth?
They crash on Earth.
Oh, but they're there because there's babes, right?
Weren't they distracted in the spaceship because they were getting TV transmissions with babes?
They were passing near Earth just sort of in a pedestrian fashion. Then they picked up some signals, had a look at Earth, got distracted, crashed the ship, and ended up here.
Yep. And that's partly because their main intelligent alien was asleep.
Yeah, the two slightly more moronic in the fact that they're all idiots. But you know, I think their names are Mac and Whiplock. Mac, Whiplock, and Zeebo are the main the aliens. Mm. And Zeebo, played by Damian Wayans, and Jim Carrey's Whiplock are the more stupid ones.
Mm.
And Jeff Goldblum is sort of their leader come slightly cleverer one. And yes, like you say, because he was asleep, they crash on Earth and interrupt the love drama that's going on in Valerie's life. Is that her name?
Yes, Valerie is a nail technician.
Classy.
And she is having problems with her doctor boyfriend?
Fiancé. Yeah.
Imminent husband.
Yeah. He's having affairs with various ditzy women, and she doesn't know, and their sex life is a bit meh, and she's trying to make it better, but he's just a git.
Mm.
I don't know. So they fall into her life and mix things up, but that's the sort of setup for the film.
Yeah.
Another positive. It's gone.
Aww.
I did, and then it's gone. Maybe we'll fall on it when we start talking about it some more.
Maybe. I mean, I hope we do, because it's lonely.
There's sparse thing. Oh, that's what it was. You mentioned nail technician.
I did.
Some of the nail designs in this come up. I mean, they have various music video type bits where they show nail designs. And there's some really, splendid. I don't want some. But, like, there were some quite creative nail designs.
I think the actual visuals of this were quite spectacular most of the time. Not necessarily in a
good
sophisticated way.
Excellent.
It was definitely interesting to look at.
There were good visuals. Sorry. There were good visuals. I mean, there's one Jeff Goldblum shot, which I'm sure had a lot of women woozing. When he steps out of the door. Let me think. And there are...
We haven't even mentioned how they look yet. But yes, you're right.
And there's some other visuals that I've probably forgotten. The musical segments, even though they're vapid, moronic, and incredibly misogynistic, at least visually quite arresting.
So, yeah, basically, these three aliens, let's talk about how they look. How do you guys rate them in terms of alien design? I mean, they're basically... The alternative designs for the Grinch with bowling ball heads or hats or whatever.
Yeah, they've got helmets. They're completely furry, and they're wearing sort of pants to cover themselves up.
And their primary colours.
Yeah, one's blue, one's red, one's yellow.
That's what primary colours mean.
Yes, I think that essentially they kind of look like the Gremlin from that famous Twilight Zone episode.
Also, as aliens go, I've actually seen worse. You think that Rich thinks they look a little bit duff, but seeing the science fiction that Ollie and I have seen, I've seen worse aliens than that.
Can you name names?
I'm trying to think of worse aliens than that. If you go to full B movies, then I guess I've seen worse aliens than that.
Yeah, if we're talking, but yeah, I mean, You know, but they're comedy aliens as well. They're kind of meant to be, like, lovable and dope. It's meant to be funny that they're kind of the way they look, I guess, rather than bizarre and kind of... They're not meant to be interesting sci-fi aliens that haven't been dreamt up, like, say, an Alien or E.T. or something. They're just being comedy aliens, aren't they? So,
it's indeed.
Boneheads.
Boneheads, yeah.
Oh, yes, the Coneheads. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or even, let me think. There was another one. There's another one in the Batman show. No, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, they're not high up on the classic alien designs, but, you know, they could be worse looking, I guess. And one of the gimmicks is, basically, because they're aliens and they've landed on Earth, and the only woman who is sort of... The only person who's dealt with them is this Valerie 80s chick who... Looks super 80s. What do we make of her then, seeing as we're talking images? She has at one point a hat with her hair going through it and just colourful braces and shorts. I mean, she's properly 80s.
Mm.
She is. She's very 80s, and because she's Gina Davis and very tall, it almost kind of breaks the 80s-ness of it all.
That's true. She managed actually to stretch out the look, so it kind of makes sense.
If
it was on a smaller woman, you literally wouldn't be able to look at her.
She looks crazy. Her friend is also quite an 80s looking chick. I mean, she's kind of the... They're both kind of ditzy hair and beauty technician
type.
Yeah, types.
The other one's a hairdresser, I think.
But don't they both... whatever. Her name's Candy, which is quite a 80s name.
And they work at the same salon.
Yeah. They both work at the Curl Up and Dye hair salon.
There's one of those in Carmarthen Town, near to where we usually record, incidentally. I think it's quite a fun for hair and beauty places. Do we like Curl Up and Dye?
It's a bit negative.
Yeah, but it's dye as in dye your hair and curl as in curl your hair, so...
Who do you think of?
I think I've seen better beauty salon names. Not that I can remember because I don't pay attention.
So also, when we get shown where they work, which is quite a mad, it's kind of a pink fun house with a checkered floor and loads of over-the-top sort of implements everywhere, would you say?
Yeah.
It's quite a weird place. So it does feel like a sort of surreal world, like a music video. Yeah, a big old nail place or whatever it is. Well, just beauty salon. Also, before we even get in there, we are treated to a monster truck yellow house car, which we just sort of have parked outside. We don't know why, but I thought that should be mentioned. Just trying to make some reactions to the look of the main cast, because they're quite a bunch, aren't they, really?
Well, yeah, if we talk about the main cast, you've got Jim Carrey is just kind of... I find it really hard to talk about the way they look. It's more just how off they are from their usual standard of performance, really.
Yeah, because that sort of role would suit Jim Carrey, usually. I mean, being a wacky alien is up his street.
Yeah, it's right there, but he really wasn't using his physicality much at all.
Yeah.
It was quite a timid performance by his standards, I'd say.
And similarly, Jeff Goldblum, he's there and he's the chief alien, but he's somehow not as magnetic as he usually is.
Fair enough when he's blue, like.
The only way I can really put it is that nobody seemed to have refined their crazy yet.
Yeah,
no.
Because the thing they're all known for in their own little way, with the possible exclusion of Gina Davis, is just being a little bit nutty in their roles and being slightly off.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe we put it down to early days. Maybe they weren't very confident because they haven't got their careers to fall back on yet, so who knows.
Well, I can certify for sure that Larry Linville overdid his best performance ever in this movie.
When you say overdid, what do you mean?
Over. That was a joke because we don't know what his performance was.
Ah.
Sorry.
Outdid. I should have been outdid. Ah.
So, yeah, we haven't really talked about much of the film at all other than our opinions on it. So I guess what happens is we're treated to the first sort of... Well, we establish, basically, that there's a problem in the relationship between the doctor and the nail technician. Classics. They don't never get on in films, do they, those types? But basically, we're treated to a makeover segment at the start where Valerie goes into work where she's telling her friends about the problems in her life. And they say, you need a makeover, because that's what they did in the 80s. They made you over, and that solved everything. That was kind of a formula that came back in daytime TV, though, isn't it? Making over to people to save them. So we're treated to a musical segment. Is this a musical, Abby, or is it just got music in? How's that work?
I think it's a borderline musical. There aren't enough of them to be a proper musical. But it's certainly on the spectrum.
It just takes a break from its busy plot with music videos for some reason.
I guess Mr. Temple just liked doing music videos.
Little choreographed moments and stuff and dances and things.
I think the music videos kind of... I think the music videos really explain why Rich and I didn't like this movie so much and Abigail did. Because I think, really... The music videos push it all the way over into being a proper girly movie.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's the music videos that kind of do that final shove.
I might have got behind them if I thought they were just a little better, more... Like, the music didn't stand out for me. I can't really remember the songs. I think the first one was just literally about getting a makeover. And there's one about being a blonde at the beach, and there's another one about just... she sings to herself a bit. It's not a musical because everyone doesn't sing, and it isn't properly that. But it does feel a bit like one. I don't know. The first choreographed makeover thing is kind of cheesy and sort of fun, I guess. It gets you in the spirit of what the movie's going to be. And they make her out. They kind of basically put a blonde wig on her, give her some makeup after dunking her head in some water or something. And she goes home to seduce her husband, who comes home. And has a woman with him, and he's kind of caught red-handed in his pants.
As Dr. Love.
Sexy doctor. And we have hilarity in the house as they argue, and this is weird, right? So he's kicked out of his own house. And then she smashes up the house as if it...
But it did seem to be mostly his stuff.
So she's breaking his things in his house, but she can also kick him out of his house.
Well, she can morally kick him out of anywhere if he's just done something bad. She can kick him out for the night. Where she's being a bit odd is assuming he can't come back if it really is his house.
Yeah, and that kind of gets more confusing later because he comes home and sees the house is smashed up and wants to get her out and her alien posse because he doesn't like them and basically it's his house and they've smashed it up. So... I just don't get the ownership of this particular home.
I think it is probably... I would suspect that she moved in with him rather than he moved in with her.
Okay.
So that while they both live there now, he's got slight more ownership.
No, I think, yeah, he owns it.
But you know, they should have got a prenup, even though they're not married, basically.
Well, no, they were going to. It was on the computer when she hit it with the bowling ball.
Like she rolled the bowling ball down the skis. Classic smash up the house scene there. Yeah. I mean, what did we enjoy that? It's very therapeutic to see someone smash up a house. You kind of want to do it yourself sometimes, but you know you'd have to tidy it up and pay for it all and stuff.
Yeah, if it was her own house, I could understand it more. But because it wasn't, she shouldn't... Well, I can't really put myself in other people's heads, but if it's somebody else's house and they've just done something really bad, then you're leaving them and you're not concentrating on smashing stuff as much as sticking stuff in a suitcase and slamming the door on your way out.
Either way, it's kind of stupid, because if you smash someone else's stuff, I mean, you're going to be on awkward legal ground, because fair enough, they may have deserved their stuff all broken, but, you know, the laws... And then if it's your stuff, you're breaking your things. So there's no win for smashing stuff up in a anger fit. Yeah, Hulk, you learn. I hope you're listening to Incredible Hulk, because you've got to learn a thing or two about smashing stuff up. It doesn't solve nothing.
Oh. Well, but you can't expect sense from the Incredible Hulk.
in fairness, it's one of his hang-ups. So basically, the aliens, we should talk about them. They were going to have a makeover, like we alluded to and mentioned. Mm. But the first introduction she has, they crash land in her pool.
Yes.
They're smaller than her.
Surprisingly well.
She's all right with it. She's hallucinating, which is fair enough, because there's a giant plastic-looking spaceship in her pool. So she bumps into it. They go, we should, you know, step in here. They shrink her into their spaceship, don't they?
Yeah, that's how the spaceship works. I quite like that as a thing, actually, that they take up less space with their spaceship by making it smaller and shrinking themselves to fit in it.
It's a really interesting choice. It's pragmatic on many levels, because they can just make a sensible, well, a practical-sized plastic spaceship and stick it in a swimming pool.
Hmm.
Which is a lot cheaper than CGIing a very big, huge spaceship, or making a very large model, which would then be hard to hide.
Yeah.
And basically, economically, it's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Also, it's nice that it's just they're a different scale. They're aliens, and everything works smaller for them.
I got to agree. I like that. It is a good way. It's both from a writing standpoint and an originality standpoint. It's good, and it does kind of look like a wacky pool toy that you might have in the Los Angeles 80s-ness of this film. So I buy that it could be a quirky pool toy as well, so it's not that suspicious. But it's pretty stupid. All the sci-fi of this is dopey. So the main things are they can shrink down people into their size, or they can scale up, and they're very good at imitating, and they sort of learn by imitating what's around them. So they hear her, watch the TV and stuff.
It's mostly sound, but they do learn some behaviour as well.
Yeah, they're much like Johnny Five from Short Circuit. They just sort of have an ability to just repeat exactly back how they sound and like just take in input quickly. You explain how they learn everything. They just watch and they start to be able to speak English and stuff, probably.
Although only Jeff Goldblum ever really manages to get to good, comprehensible English.
That's because he's the clever one.
Yeah. We've really... yes. Is there anything to say about the third alien, apart from the fact that he's Damon Wayans and he was the preceding Wayans brother? And
he had a dance-off. That was his moment to shine. The black guy, of course, once they shave him and realise he is black, not yellow or red or whatever colour it was.
Or did she choose to make him black? That's the thing.
No, I think he was black,
wasn't
he?
He did a reproduction of her
voice.
Reaction, and her reaction was, oh my god, you're like totally black.
No, that's what he said. She didn't say that. But
no,
he said
no,
what
he
she
was...
thought.
No.
Yeah, she didn't say
it. He said it, but he was doing her.
Yeah, that's what I mean, but he didn't hear her say it. Ah, that's just pedantic. Basically, his thing is that he will dance really cool in the club they go to. That's his moment to shine.
Yeah, he mimics this other guy, exactly, who keeps trying to outdance him, but he can match him move for move.
Or even better him at times.
Mm.
That was a weird guy as well. What did you... Like, there was just the greasy-looking dancer guy with his huge shoulder pads and high waistband and horrible moustache. He was, again, meant to be a bit sleazy so that you feel good that the alien beat him.
I guess.
Not too critical of the dodgy looking guy in the dance floor.
I've been watching too many 80s movies where black men are represented in the most peculiar ways.
Historically accurate. When they dress badly, like Michael Jackson combined with a pimp. No, but that's his... So basically the story arc for Jim Carrey is similar, but he doesn't dance. He's a bit... He entertains women a bit. And he kind of go... They both go off on their own little adventure separately from Jeff Goldblum's alien character.
Mm.
And they end up going with...
Kenny.
No, don't they go to the beach as well? Like, they go...
with Woody, yeah.
They go with Woody, yes.
Cool guy who's called in to empty the pool out so that the spaceship can be rescued and they can fly away.
Mike McKean, who I am name-dropping for the third time.
Yeah, Mike McKean, yes.
He was really not up to the usual Mike McKean standards, though.
He didn't have enough to do.
He just got to do really over-the-top surfer dude stuff.
which isn't usually what he has to do.
No, well, he's not known for doing wacky surf at him. No. He's a quite a diverse comedy actor. I mean, Spinal Tap is really good, and so Short Circuit's really good. And, yeah. Well, just all the things. Like, do you want to name some awesome?
Well, like, he's done most of Chris Guest's stuff, and he just comes up all over the place. He'll just pop up.
Be kind of funny.
Yeah, but he has to be able to talk. In this, he does use speech, but it's mostly hi.
Whoa, no, he has bye. His. He's all about the like tubular and all the wacky 80s terms they used to use back then, bitching and rad and talking about waves in bizarre surfer ways. He does all that stuff. He has quite weird slang.
I guess.
But it isn't that funny.
It's a shame.
It's weird, actually. If even one person had stepped up and been as funny as we know they can be, it would have been an immeasurably better movie.
Yeah.
So we've been all over the place. So there's no real good place to pick up from. So let's just say, what did we think of the relationship between Valerie and Mac, or Jeff Goldblum? They sort of developed their relationship more than the others.
I have an issue with this romance.
Go on.
Because Mac has the love touch.
Oh, yeah, that's one of their sci-fi powers. That's what you mentioned. They have the sci-fi power of shrinking themselves up big and small or whatever.
Well, I think that's actually part of the spaceship's kit, but yes.
Yeah. Still a bit sci-fi idea, but, you know, whatever. That's not a big deal. Yeah, they have the love touch. Can you explain the love touch, either of you?
I can't. It's a family podcast.
The love touch is just basically Mac has a sort of magical equivalent of catnip for humans. And cats, actually, later on. So
he sort of touches you, doesn't he? And then you shimmer with rainbow colours and then fall in love with... It's like Cupid or something.
Yeah.
Yes, he managed to turn two police officers quite...
Gay.
Yes.
They fell in love, but then they became camp for no reason. I don't know why falling in love would change who they were and make them a bit more camp. This is a weird thing. This has lots of weird moments, right, this film, because it's quite off the wall. But I don't know if they make sense. Like, at one point, Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans, they are off with the surfer dude going to the beach because it's going to have babes and a blonde competition cue another rubbish music video on the beach without many of the main actors. And they end up stealing his car and rob... No.
And they accidentally rob a store.
Yeah.
Because a kid comes at them with a plastic gun and Zeebo puts his finger in the barrel and it gets stuck on the end of his finger.
Yeah.
So then he's got a plastic gun that looks vaguely... authentic.
Yeah.
And they go into the store and he thinks he's being robbed and he gives loads of money.
They're just looking. They don't really understand.
And then somebody else wants them to move the car so they can get to the petrol pump. And then they do it wrong and end up going far away and off.
Apparently that very... I don't know how to describe that very odd-looking blonde lady in the car. Apparently she was quite a famous genre model at the time.
This looks a bit odd, like overdone plastic surgery, and she has really like a weird visor on and strange clothes.
Yeah,
She doesn't look healthy, does she? She looks very kind of powdery.
Maybe they're playing it because she looks so weird. It's meant to be a bit more funny. I don't know.
Anyway, I don't mean to pick on that person.
They end up crashing into a giant donut that you have outside typical American donut shops. That seems to be a thing in their culture.
On top of the donut shop. They got airborne quite significantly.
How that? Oh, they just drove off something.
Oh, and they do have them flying off at the end through the donut-shaped thing.
The donut? The giant
asteroid.
Donut.
No, they fly off through a giant asteroid at the end, which is donut-shaped, don't they?
What a callback.
I know, isn't it amazing?
So my point is, it's pretty mad and wacky, but it's like it doesn't try and make enough sense It just seems a bit like, wow, we came up with a thing. We needed to do something with these spare characters.
This is becoming a thing of the films that we pick for anything in film mode now, where we get films that just didn't quite commit to being any one thing in particular.
That's the problem I have. Actually, going back to the relationships, that's the problem I have, is that they didn't commit to either her relationship with the evil Dr. Ted, who wasn't that evil, really.
Yeah.
He's a bit of an idiot, but he wasn't bad.
He was just, you know, a git in the same way that many people can be a git.
Yeah, and then and they don't commit to that one, because you never really buy that she wants him anyway, really. Mm. And then with Mac, this Jeff Goldblum coming down from on high, she doesn't really fall for him either. She just kind of wobbles around and, I don't know what's going on. Just, there's nothing going on there. I'm not making any sense.
You get that she fancies these people.
But she's had the love touch.
Yeah.
Also, she reacts overtly, like, when Jeff Goldblum is revealed to be shaven and human and stylized like a regular 80s schmo, she's kind of like, they're all like, oh, Jeff Goldblum's really attractive. It's like, is he though? Jim Carrey's younger looking and the other guy's kind of built. So why is Jeff Goldblum so hot in this, you know?
No, Jeff Goldblum does have this weird exotic look thing that's going on.
Earlier on, when
he was young,
when less people looked like him as well.
So his strangeness, his strangeness is alluring.
Yes.
I don't know, I don't get that, but okay, you guys seem to think it's fine that Jeff Goldblum's fancied more than the other two. But he has the love touch, which makes it all the more weird, like, that she's fallen for him, you know?
Because you don't know if it's legitimate.
Like, is he doing it, or is she just likes him because... I don't know.
The love touch is a very shaky thing. It's not entirely certain whether it's at all emotional, or whether it's just a hormonal thing which wears off, or if it has some kind of time limit on it. It's just, oh, it's a love touch. We don't know what it is.
Probably rainbow, oh, I'm in love. But
it seems to be much more of a physical thing rather than an emotional thing.
I think I've solved it, because at the end, when they're trying to escape in the spaceship, when the pool's empty and the doctor's found them and they're like, oh no, basically he uses his rainbow touch thing to make the Dr. Ted fall. Dr. Ted and Valerie fall in love with each other, and she breaks out of that and realizes that they're gonna go. And she it doesn't affect her because she has more of a want to go with the aliens away into space or whatever.
Well, after hormonal events and physical intimacies, you kind of naturally become more attached to each other. So maybe it's just that I think that if any love comes of it, it's just because of a shared experience via the love touch.
Another freaky thing about it is after they have a night of passion, Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, she has a freaky nightmare. She has a weird nightmare that's all blue, and lots of the people in her life are aliens, and she's just wandering around her flat and outside, and everyone's just wearing strange masks. It's like another music video, really.
Mm.
What's that all about, Ab? You should be the expert here.
I know that there's some kind of reference or footage from Buckaroo Banzai out there.
Great.
Other than that, it's the dream sequence. She's afraid that she's falling in love with an alien and she did fall out from that.
She probably shouldn't have slept with the alien. That's just... I mean, like, for one... Okay, give them a makeup enough they need to blend in so they don't get snapped up by the CIA. But then taking them out clubbing because they're kind of attractive now that they look like humans, bad idea. Letting them alone for any time at all, not just, you know, do... What would you do if they turned up in your pool, if you had a pool? Guys?
These three specific aliens? Or just aliens in general?
No, I'd just go with these ones.
I would do most of the steps she did early on. Make them look like they can fit in, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And then I basically lock them in the house for a few days. Like, they need to go and work on the ship, obviously. But
so you'd be aiding them without letting them go anywhere in case they get you all arrested and...
But if you're going to keep them in the backyard or in the house, then what's the point of making them look human?
Because they'll still need to go outside to fix the pool. And her neighbour.
Yeah, her neighbour with the giant beehive hair has got all kinds of wacky ways of spying. So you'd have to be careful. What about you, Ollie? Would you react the same way as this woman did and go out clubbing with them? Or?
Well, no, it's a completely different situation. I am a man.
You'd have...
And I don't like clubbing.
That's true. Ollie's more likely to see some board games.
Good. But...
We'll take them to the library.
Yeah, they'd learn all about Earth properly from you, I imagine.
Yes, they'd be much better educated if they landed with Ollie, I think.
Yeah.
It's a stupid movie, so we can't question too much her way of dealing with it. But what annoyed me is she goes to make pancakes for them, even though she kind of assumes they can eat human food. And she goes to make pancakes, and then two of them run away, and she doesn't realise for ages that they've gone. Yeah. And it's just, it's ludicrous. Like, what are you doing? You have three aliens. You shouldn't leave them because they're A, interesting and new, and the most exciting thing that's ever happened. And two, you know, just, I don't know, health and safety, logic, I don't know, any number of things.
Actually, by the time she noticed, Mac had gone as well, looking for the other two.
Yeah. This is what's weird. They have the two off getting into scrapes, robbing gas stations. And then somehow the plot means that Jeff Goldblum and Valerie get arrested. And they're on their way to prison, and they have to like make the cops love each other so they can go free. Whereas the two who steal a car and rob a place and crash into a donut, they end up in hospital, which conveniently Dr. Ted has to work on them and discovers they have two hearts, which basically means they're in the same universe as Doctor Who. So they're in hospital, and the others get arrested and have to get out of being arrested, despite not really committing any crimes. And they all end up together in the hospital, and then they make a load of noises to freak out Dr. Ted so they can escape. It's just a really all-over-the-place plot.
Mm.
Can you defend it, Abby?
It's kind of the way it was meant to be. But I'm not happy. Carry on.
Zany and mad.
I think if they could have just got a handle on some of the other elements, you would have gone along with the plot okay. Because it doesn't veer too... But it's sort of...
It's more
like... weak turns.
Yeah.
But they are still turns from the road they were on.
It is a stupid film. And it is it's stupid. You kind of expect it to do mad stuff. I just think it would have been nice to have a little bit more of a well-crafted story to these wacky... Like, just craft it well, do some proper jokes and be funny rather than just be wacky and 80s and mad.
Yeah, I think we said it on the commentary, which will never be released. Sorry, we said it on the commentary, but basically, well, I said it, that it's really over-the-top visual, and as a result, the comedy things don't really stick out. And really, they could have either gone for over-the-top visuals and more subtle word things, or less over-the-top visuals and more just zany antics. Because you can't really have zany antics when you've got all this colour going on. It just gets buried in the visuals.
And it just feels like a row of mad music videos.
Mm.
And I think... just been edited and split up into several different music videos and handed out to different 80s artists, it would have been fine.
What's also weird is that this is maybe the third movie in which Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum are in together, because they're in The Fly together and they're in Transylvania 65,000 and they're married by this point, and there's just absolutely no chemistry between them at all.
The LA story. Marriage makes you have no chemistry on screen.
Yeah.
The excitement of finding someone you're attractive isn't there because they found them like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and they're going to break up in another 2 years, and they're just in the middle right now.
You know, if we have missed, I mean, we've probably missed out bits that's worth talking about, but really, it's just several wacky music videos tied together with an insane plot about aliens coming in and invading an 80s woman's world.
Mm.
And they end up flying away with her hooray, the end. You know, kind of.
You know what would be really nice would be if there was an extra subplot, just one subplot. Maybe if Candy was up to something.
Yeah, she sort of tries to cop off with Whiplock or Jim Carrey, but doesn't fully.
It's not like they didn't have people who could either. Because you had Candy, you had Woody, you even had her neighbour if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, they just didn't.
It was just kind of mental and hard going. Because at times it wasn't that funny, and other times it was just kind of bizarre, and you'd like, what? So I don't know, I think we've said it really, is the flaws were there because it needed a bit more effort put into it in one, or just focused on one thing or whatever.
Mm.
It just wasn't quite satire, it wasn't quite zany, it was just kind of mad, and just a little bit too cheap perhaps, and a little bit too early in some people's careers.
Mm. I still think it's a laugh. And that I like it because there are kitsch things about it
yeah.
I enjoy, and there's enough for me to like. But I can see that it's definitely not everyone's taste.
It's certainly not uninteresting. It's not like you'll get bored.
It's also a film that some people could really enjoy hating. They get energy from it.
What do you think? Do you have experience of such behaviour?
Yes, yes I do. I'm not looking at anyone.
I've never enjoyed hating it. After all, yeah, you can totally. I mean, it is kind of fun to be annoyed at every moment of ludicrous. It isn't quite that bad, though. It isn't so bad that you're angry. It's just sort of silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bit. There's nothing objectionable about it. Well, I think it's a bit exploitative about women in places, but I think it's supposed to be. And
fun of
mostly, it's just unremarkable, really.
It's a shame.
So, I guess those are sort of our sum-ups. We should be coming to some kind of conclusion.
We've had a little bit of forethought over this, so I'll tell Ollie what we're going to rate out of this. We're going to say aliens.
Okay.
So you think of an alien that this is like for you, and we'll talk about the ones that we picked. I picked Alf, because it's from the same era as Alf. It's a bit weird-looking. It's occasionally humorous.
Obscure.
It's obscure, kitsch, and lame. Some people know about it, some people don't.
Yeah, Alf's pretty ugly as well. This was a kind of ugly film in a bright and colourful way.
So that's pick Alf.
Rich? I don't know. What did I say? Something like, it's like the alien from Alien because it murders everything. And this is a film that is out to kill you in some. I can't make the metaphor.
You have to remember one thing.
What? What do you mean?
What alien this film was. Think on.
What did I say? Say it on the television.
No, you said it was the alien from Alien.
Right.
And that it destroyed everything, and by everything you mean humour.
A rampage of pain and suffering. But that seems a bit harsh now, seeing as we're trying to be a bit more positive.
Do you have an alien, Ollie?
Yes, I have an alien.
What
alien? It's quite specific. It's Counselor Troy from Star Trek The Next Generation.
I said pain!
Yes, bizarrely dressed, occasionally useful, but mostly redundant. And if she's ever humorous, it's not really for the reason that was intended.
Nice.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I agree with that.
Ooh, I've got a better one for mine. Because it's a bit mean to say they just murders everything. But, it's like the Teletubbies. It's kind of, they're like, colourful, they're kind of, you can understand it if you're an adult, but really it's just gibbering on. It's a load of silly nonsense, and maybe kids will enjoy it more. I don't know. That's why I think they're more like the Teletubbies. Bright, colourful, stupid, irritating to adults, possibly amusing to the MTV scum.
Okay.
That was an in-joke. That was an actual reference to what they get. They get called MTV scum. I've picked it up from the film. There's one thing I like. Is that they refer to people as MTV scum. And I will take that with me. So well done, movie.
Wow. Right. Have we all rated?
We have all rated.
Yes. It is worth seeing if you want rubbish, and not worth seeing if you like quality goods.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Don't pay for it. But if it's on TV late at night, knock yourself out.
Oh, no, no, yeah. It's in the grand scheme of things, it's a movie that you put on your shelves proper and not in the shoebox of fate underneath the sofa, but you don't pay money.
Or admit to owning it. That was our Earth Girls Are Easy conversation, full of spoilers. Hooray.
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 I guess we just have to say goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, Paul. Goodbye.
Goodbye.